देवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
In the ashramas, then we are dealing with the principle. The first principle is that of brahmacharya. So this is not so much the activities as is a mentality. So by following some certain activities, that helps us develop the proper mentality, the proper attitude. Because it's not so much the activity that pleases Krishna, but is our mood of devotion. Because we must understand that the Varnashram system is just a stepping stone to get to the platform of pure love of God. So one of the principles of brahmacharya is that we become thoughtful. We must become observant to what is going on around us. The tendency is if we sit at home for the boys, then we take everything for granted. So because you sit there, there's a place to sleep, you walk in, you yell and scream, you get something to eat, you run out and play. So what thinking needs to be done? They won't think. They just play, eat, sleep. So unless one is taken out of that environment and put in another environment, then otherwise one won't think. So the idea is that the children or the brahmacharis have to be raised by the parents. But we must understand that this position of parents is a rasa. It's not a purely a biological function. Just as the brahmacharya is not the external features, but it's the attitude, same way the parents are not necessarily external features, but also a mood. So therefore, in the Shastra it mentions, don't become a mother, a father, a teacher, a guru, a king, unless you can save your dependents from death. So this is the meaning of the parental rasa, is giving of shelter. So this giving of shelter then is for the benefit to take the person under one's care back to Godhead. That is the purpose. So as we mentioned, the problem is that with the parents at home, the boy is not thinking about the ultimate goal. Why worry? Eating, sleeping is going on. So then by going away from one's own parents and going under another set of parents or the teacher, then one starts to observe. So then, as we discussed on the first day, that there's these five levels of consciousness. He has to be able to distinguish between these five. So that will not happen at the house. At the house, he will stay on the Anamoy platform, maybe get to the Pranamoy when they're older. So that will only happen if the parents are strict, that they point out that there's other people that you have to be conscious of. But still, that is not enough. We have to get to Anandamay. You ask any parent, they'll say, yes, I tell them, they don't listen. So therefore, the teacher, it is a planned program for the raising of children in the community that this principle is followed. So this means brahmachari means education. So this education is part of the Vedic culture. You cannot separate it. Because unless one is trained, then how does one come up? How does one become human? The Shastras say the first birth is the animal birth. Because the child is only interested in eating, sleeping, playing, like that. So then, but by going and studying under the teacher, that is considered the second birth. So that birth then is where we start to understand our consciousness as a human being. So the beginning of the training, then in the beginning we learn, okay, we dress like this, we do like this, we learn so many things. Then we think, yes, now everything's paka, like that. That's called, in the devotional language, Rupa Goswami, no, you see? Vishwanath calls this utsamayi, that one is very full of enthusiasm. No more space, so much enthusiasm is there, can't put any more inside. Then the problem comes is then, after a while, that becomes normal. So then sometimes we're fired up, sometimes we're not. So this is called... Gana Tarola means sometimes thick gana and sometimes tarola, just like water. we see that if we push on, then the next step we get to is a interesting position where then we're wondering, we have this question in our mind. Question is this, do I get married or do I take sannyas? Right? Is that if I take sannyas, then, you know, we become very strong in devotional life and all this. At the same time as Bhagavatam and so many persons who become perfect going through the Grihastha ashram, and yeah, you don't have to worry so much. It means you chant Hare Krishna, Grihe Tako, Bane Tako, why go to so much trouble? There's no Muri and Muri Masla underneath the tree, you know, it's only underneath the bed. Yes, nice tin is there, like that. So, why so much trouble? But we see there's a little bit more strength than in just thick thin. Means from this Gana Tarola, it's a little bit, it's the next step up. Because now instead of being fired up in that, there's some direction in life. Yes. So of course, Chanakya gives a very nice point. He says, if you don't know whether to travel or not travel, don't travel. If you don't know whether you should eat or not eat, don't eat. And if you don't know whether to get married or not get married, you should get married. So this is very important, right? After studying all these shastras and that, then Chanakya has understood this point. All right, so then this brings us to the point of what is an upakurvana brahmachari and a naistika brahmachari. So Prabhupada, as we mentioned yesterday, Prabhupada said a first-class brahmachari makes a first-class grihastha. So of course, the immediate question is, why would a first-class brahmachari get married? I noticed when I was in the West, I'd mentioned this, and who would ask this question? About this question, about why would a first-class brahmachari get married? The brahmacharis. No, it's the women. They're already thinking first class won't get married anyway, so we have to settle for all the riffraff. But Prabhupada makes the point, no, first class brahmachari makes first class grihastha. So now this point must be very carefully understood, because the whole two things come up. The standard of brahmacharya stays low if this is not understood. The standard of grihastha life stays low if this is not understood. And pleasant relationship between the brahmacharya ashram and the grihastha ashram cannot exist if this is not understood. This is the point. Is the brahmachari, both the naistika and upakurvana, they study the shastras, they study under the teacher. Now, both of them come to a level of understanding. Maybe we'll just step back, just a point from here. Means in the Vedic concept, there are four levels of education. The first is called Shravana. We hear. We hear all the knowledge. We see the example. So that's the first level. The second level is called Manana, where we contemplate what it is we've heard, what it is we've seen, and try to understand. Called Gyan. So now if that Gyan is mixed with devotional activities, then it comes to the next platform of realization, called in Sanskrit Vigyan, or Nididhyasana, like that, or the position that you become fixed in that knowledge. Now at Nididhyasana, or this, at Vigyan, then one's values, one's behavior changes. Means one can understand something but not change one's behavior. Like we go preaching, so many people understand, yes, chanting Hare Krishna is good, but they don't do it. Or someone knows, yes, I should give up sinful activities, it's very bad, but they can't give it up. So knowledge is there, but no realization. When you realize, then you do it, then you chant, then you give up. So it's very important to understand. If you see someone knows so much, but their behavior is not so good, it means that there's knowledge, but not realization. So in the Vedic literature, this platform of Gyan is nice, but it's not considered very wonderful. Vigyan is the realized knowledge. This is important. So the whole thrust of the Vedic culture is to get everybody to that platform of Vigyan. I would say the major difference between the concept of culture in the Vedas and the modern culture. It means you can become a PhD, an Emirates, you can become a Nobel Prize laureate, but you don't have to realize anything. You just have to have good knowledge and every, you know, year crank out a new paper with some new idea. But you'll be respected amongst the academic circle. Yes, very knowledgeable. I think Ravinder Sarup was saying that in America he's seen that these big professors are sitting around talking about, you know, Jiva Goswami's satsandarbhas while they're drinking beer. Yes, you know, he said like this and he used this Sanskrit word. And another one says, yes, but I think it means this. This is going on in the universities in the West. So they don't care for realization. So since the Vedic culture is meant to change us from animal to pure devotee, therefore realization is most important. So now if we understand this point, we'll understand what we were talking about with the brahmacharis. So now you have these two brahmacharis. They have heard, they have understood. Means they've studied the Bhagavatam, they know the nature of the material world, they know the nature of the spiritual world. So this means both are first-class brahmacharis. They behave properly, they're submissive, they follow the authority, they're knowledgeable, strong. So now what makes the difference between the two? Both are first-class. The difference is this, that the Naistika brahmachari comes to the platform of realization as the brahmachari. And then in that, he's able to then continue as a brahmachari. While the Upakurvana, he has the knowledge, but is not able in that ashram to get the realization. So in the Vedic literature, in the Vedic society, that realization is important. The ashram is not important. So the Upakurvana gets married, and then through that process, he gets the same realization as the Naistika Brahmachari. So they both get that realization. This is very important. If this works properly, then you will find the Brahmachari Ashram. If this understanding is there, Brahmachari Ashram becomes a very peaceful place. Because realization means lack of pride. Means pride comes in the platform of knowledge, not in realization. So if we're proud of being a brahmachari and someone else who feels he needs to get married, we go, what is this? Saying in Bengali, gute pore gober hashe. He got married, just it's a matter of you give it 1-2 years. So the point is first class brahmacharis, they don't see any difference. Just like if you have two doctors, or you have one doctor, you have two patients. One has a fever, one has a cold, right? Both are sick. So can you give the same medicine to both and it will work? No, you have to give different medicine for both. So for one, remaining brahmachari is the medicine. For the other, marriage is the medicine. We're talking about being in the material world for unlimited lifetimes. One lifetime of Brahma is 151 trillion? No, that's half of it. I think it's 311 trillion years. And that's one lifetime. And we've been here so many lifetimes of Brahma. So what is 20 years? One brahmachari just stays brahmachari, the other one goes through household life for a few years and they come to the same realization. And they're at the same platform, what's the difference? The Vedic culture is not interested in something cheap. The Vedic culture wants quality, wants substance. In other words, when we see that material, mundane rasa has no taste and only spiritual rasa has taste, that is the goal. So we have to gain that taste. So we're not worried. Beg, borrow, steal, we will get that realization. So that means if we can get it by hearing, then fine. And if we hear, but we also must try, and then we get that realization, what is the harm? What's the problem? So the point is we must come to that platform. Otherwise, what's the use of human life? So this is very important. So this means, now what is an Upakurvana then? Naistika, we understand. Lifetime, they remain celibate. So the Upakurvana, he makes a vow. For so much time, I will stay brahmachari and I will study so much. Then with that understanding, I will be to a particular level of strength. Then one can get married. Not that we just wake up one day and while we're brushing our teeth, we're looking in the mirror and going, wow, I think you better get married. You know? It has to be planned. Means as a brahmachari, if you can't plan, no question of any planning as a grihastha. And then it's just dragged around by the modes of nature. So you want details of that, you read Bhagavatam has the chapter, The Forest of Material Enjoyment. That is written there not for the karmis, not for the yogis, not for the other bogies, but for the devotees. Right? Agnidra, we just read about Agnidra. It mentions very clearly in one of the purports, Agnidra was a devotee. So it's given because if you're not careful, this can happen. So now this means then that Upakurvana, after proper training, then he can become a grihastha. All right. Now, what is happening then as a grihastha? This means that now he has heard all the knowledge. He understands the knowledge. Then as he goes through Grihastha life, then step by step he goes, oh, this is what that meant. Oh, this is the situation that was being talked about. And like this, he gets realization after realization. And then these are shared with the wife, and this way husband and wife, they progress. So when one comes to the stage of vanaprastha, that means you only come there because of realization. Otherwise, one will not come there. Cannot come. Where's the realization? Vanaprastha means realization. That's why we see three of the ashrams are celibate, one is not. So the idea is to get there. But by going through the grihastha ashram, we get that realization. One can fall back on that training. Otherwise, then what do you fall back on? Oh, who will feed me? Who will this? As a brahmacharya. Eating is going on, place to stay is there, what's the problem? Otherwise one becomes remains attached to facility. And we shouldn't think this won't happen to us. So that means the first class brahmacharya becomes first class grihastha, then becomes first class vanaprastha, then first class sannyasi. Or as the naistika, first class brahmacharya, first class sannyasi. So the process is the same, but otherwise what will one do? Now let us discuss second class. Second class, we won't discuss naistika because there isn't such a thing. Won't be. We may look on the outside. Saffron is there, but we check attachment to the room, the facilities, only doing just what you want to do, nothing, no one come tell you anything, this, that. Then what is that? So second class means they'll get married. But now let us look at this second class brahmachari who's gotten married. So now, the first class knows what he's get. First class means he knows what he's getting into. See, it's like this. You have a well, and very deep well. And in the bottom of this well, there's some rocks. No water, rock. So the first class knows what it is. He knows it's difficult getting in, difficult getting out. But he knows both how to get in, how to get out. Like we see, Agnidra, it mentions that he knew how to talk to Purvachiti, so that she would be pleased to become his wife. Just like his father, one has to know how to get out. So he's not a fool. He's not thinking, oh yes, wonderful, well, you know, nice, very big, nice, you know, lakes, and we'll be on boats and music and dancing and everything will be wonderful. We'll do nice bhajan together. Yes, so he jumps in, and when he hits the bottom on his head on the rock, he goes, what happened? Where's the nice water and everything? So the first one, he knows the trouble. So he goes into it, and then with cooperation with his, religious wife, they make step-by-step progress going back to Godhead. So he knows his trouble, and when trouble comes, he's not surprised. He's under no illusion, oh, it will be so wonderful and great and that. He knows that due to so much habit from unlimited lifetimes, I have this attachment. But in these previous lives, I went through this process without any knowledge. Now I'm going into this with knowledge, and with that knowledge and regulation, I'm going to break these attachments. So the husband helps the wife helps the husband. Together they break these attachments, and then they both get out of the well. So this is the first, this is the path, the path of the grihastha, the first class brahmachari. So this is what we talk about as the grihastha brahmachari. Before marriage is called upakurvana. After marriage is called grihastha brahmachari. The second class though, he has a different experience. So when he jumps in the well and bangs his head on the rock, then he thinks something's wrong here. Yeah. What happened to the beautiful wife who's always serving, taking care of everything, and I just sit there and do nothing and all facilities. What happened? Then he thinks, I got it. Now I understand. There's something wrong with this girl. I get another girl, then everything will be okay. But then, of course, he hits the rocks on the next one, and then he wonders, well, maybe another one. It's these. Now he's 40 years old, he's thinking, it's these older girls. A younger girl, of course, will be nice. She was younger, my wife was nice. When she got older, it was bad. Therefore, that's the problem. The young girls, then problem solved. And like this, we just keep on going. 40, 50, 60, yeah, like that. And don't laugh. It's going on today. Examples are plenty. we will not give any though. Those who know, those who don't, take my word for it. Like that. And these are devotees. So the whole point is then it is a continuous path from brahmachari into grihastha brahmachari. Then we're still studying, we're still observing, we're still applying our knowledge. Therefore, for a Brahmin, he is always learning, always developing. Therefore, the Vaishnava follows this Brahmin culture. And then when we have the realization, then what is the fourth level? That brahmachari who has realized, he can speak. And that brahmachari who's become the grihastha, he realizes he can also speak. And you'll even see that the women, they've gone through this, they can also speak. I can remember two occasions where there was some discussion that someone wanted to get married. And they, you know, it was a couple who were listening to this, husband and wife. And the wife said, I'll talk to him. And then she spoke to that brahmachari and convinced him that, don't bother. Because the point is husband and wife both get this realization. Means the Varnashram system is addressing the conditioned nature of the living entity to bring us to the constitutional platform as servant of Krishna. So this means that both men, women, they all get the realization that this material life, this material world is useless. Let's stop here for any questions. The question is that what is the impetus for the Upakurvana to want to get married, to get that realization, or for the Naistika Brahmachari to pursue that realization? This is what I mentioned yesterday. You can't separate the devotional path from the Varnashram, because we have to be convinced that I am servant of Krishna. So the impetus is desiring to develop pure love for Krishna. So for the Naistika Brahmachari, the attachment to material rasa is very minimal, and by association and study and service, it is going. And for the Upakurvana, he understands it, but it's not quite solid in his grasp. And so he gets close enough by marrying a girl who is also equally interested in spiritual life. And then with that wife, naturally then, he will get that realization that this material rasa, he was saying, if that's the reason, why does he have to get married? Why can't he just pursue the devotional line? So, question then is, if that's the case, it's pure devotional service is the impetus, then why the Upakurvana wouldn't just continue in brahmachari life to get that? So, the point is habit. Habit is something that you do without thinking. So the mind by habit keeps running back to these kind of things. The mind thinks there's some substance there. So therefore, to be convinced, then one enters the grihastha life to see that that substance that one thinks one's looking for is not there. So means grihastha life, one might find some devotional substance, but one won't find any of this material, the conjugal, the parental, all the substance is not there. Yeah. In the grihastha life, material relationships, one won't find any substance. Only if it's based on devotional life, that only will find some substance. So then in the grihastha, you can compare very nicely. And you can see, yes, the only substance here is the devotional activities done, the devotional activities done with the wife, with the family. Those are the only thing of substance. And everything else is not, doesn't give the satisfaction. So then when husband and wife understand this, then they both then move naturally to the vanaprastha ashram. Because vanaprastha means you don't care so much about the house, you mainly engage yourself in service, live in the dhams, like this. Engage yourself more in study. So the husband and wife have understood that was the substance in the grihastha life. So therefore leave the other things, keep that. There's another very important element that we haven't discussed today. That's more, we can discuss it tomorrow. It'll make more sense. But it's the foundation, it's very important for the foundation of grihastha life. Right? It's basically works on how the brain, or how you'd say the intelligence of a man works and how the intelligence of a woman works. And because of that, then you get this. But that's a whole nother discussion. We'll bring that up tomorrow. See, because the main point is you cannot separate the whole process. As we see, to discuss brahmacharya, we have to have an understanding of grihastha life. And to understand grihastha life, we have to have an understanding of brahmacharya life. Because the purpose of both is detachment. So for one who understands this, then it becomes, it goes smoothly. Can an upakurvana brahmachari come to the platform of naistika? So the point is the upakurvana, he comes to the platform of a naistika brahmachari by going through grihastha life, like that. That is the point. It means it's realization. See, we're thinking brahmachari life is just what we do on the outside. Means the I forget the name of the sage, but the sage who wrote the Kama Sutra, he's writing that from understanding. He just understood, okay, people want to be grihasthas. And that, I mean, they want to be grihamedis, they want to enjoy themselves to the max, so instead of following just some material thing and getting too much in Maya, you follow some Vedic thing, right? Or just like Chanakya. He's not interested in making money, this and that, but by studying the Shastras, he can understand the mentalities and what you have to do to make a kingdom work. So, and he doesn't need to do anything. He's happy sitting in his ashram. But the king is not good. The citizens are suffering. So he figures, let's change this king to a good king so things will go nicely. Therefore, he is able to enter that knowledge and give that to someone else. But he's not managed a kingdom. So someone who has that conditioning, they become the king. Then after that, then they take vanaprasth. They come to the same platform as the Brahmin. In other words, Brahmin and Kshatriya, they're the same. The Brahmin, he understands, he can give you the advice, but doesn't want to do. The Kshatriya goes through the same training as the Brahmin, but he has the desire to perform the activities. But at the end, he comes to the same platform as the Brahmin. Therefore, the chapter in Bhagavatam, the Pandavas retire timely. Therefore, we see Prachina Barhishat, he retires. Priyavrata, he retires. You see, they always bring it to that point. They never stop a story right in the middle of a kingdom. Always take it to the end when they become realized and leave. Kardama Muni, he also retires. His wife is taken care of by Kapila, his son. He leaves for the forest. That's second. Therefore, these stories are there in the Bhagavatam. That's why Bhaktivinod says, Grihe tako, bane tako. It doesn't matter. Because you're dealing with the same quality of spiritual desire. That little extra bit of passion is there. So one goes through that in a regulated fashion to destroy it. Example is you take out a thorn with another thorn, and then you throw them both. So that's the whole point. We have material desire, then that's the thorn. The other thorn, we use the grihastha life to take that out. Then we leave them both. Does that make sense? See, this is very important. Otherwise, they come back, well, first class, why do they get married? First class means he's smart enough to know, I have these attachments, I must get married, and I will do it in this regulated way according to the Shastras, and I will break it. And he may be young now, he knows, okay, I'm young now, when I'm more mature, I'll get married. Now is time to study. He's more worried about going back to Godhead than what the other brahmacharis are going to think. Otherwise, second class brahmachari, oh, my saffron cloth, I can't say, no, I can't let it go. What will the other brahmacharis say? They'll say so many things. Yes, oh, the pain that the other brahmacharis will laugh at me. So therefore, up to the last minute, I've already talked with the girl all day for weeks. I've already made all the arrangements. I've already invited all the parents and everything. Arranged the wedding. Last day I put on the white cloth. But, of course, there is another aspect of this. Because I'm such a first-class brahmachari, I'm special. So I'm not just like all the other grihasthas. So how will I show everybody that we're special? We're not the ordinary grihastha. Very simple. There's nothing in the heart, nothing, no, it's something very external. So everybody can understand. The fools may not understand. So therefore, I have to make it very obvious that I'm special. Very simple. You go to Navadvip, you buy a little bit of yellow dye. Yeah, I give that, then yes, of course. See, yeah, so we are still the big, big brahmachari, but at the same time, with a little, it's a detail, right, the white. So the point is we have to be mature and realistic to understand who we are, our conditioning, and what is the best platform for us. Like in the Bhagavatam, there's that, don't remember the verse, it's right in the, Prabhupada quotes it in the preface. The verse means that the Bhagavatam, because it is about the transcendental nature of the Lord, even if there are mistakes, it's accepted by those who are honest. So that means it may seem like a fault, but those who are honest, they don't see it as a fault. So if the brahmacharis want to see the brahmachari ashram become strong, we must understand and follow this. Then they must understand this point. Means it should be accepted that some will get married, some may not, and both must be equally respected. But the point is we must be first class. That's what Krishna looks for. That's what works in the Varnashram Dharma. Means sadhana is good, service attitude is good, you know, able to deal with others is good, our achar. Then that common platform of devotional service is there. If you can't figure out how to work with the other brahmacharis, even though there's a slight difference in mentality, how the heck are you ever going to be able to live with a wife and figure out their head? It means if you can't figure out something so similar, how are you going to figure out something different? Otherwise, second class. So now we have second class brahmacharis. He tries to be fired up brahmachari. Then he can't. He's embarrassed to get married because all the other brahmacharis talk and criticize. Then after a few years, you know, he can't grit his teeth anymore. He gets married. Then he thinks back, well, all the other boys are the same as me. So then I as a grihastha can't respect those brahmacharis. So therefore then the natural point comes to grihasthas, tell the brahmacharis, we know you. Why don't you be honest? You're just like us. But you just pretend to be brahmacharis, but we have become honest. So therefore, the second class grihastha harasses the second class brahmachari, and the second class brahmachari talks about, the grihasthas. Yeah, so therefore, if this scenario, this situation sounds familiar, it is because of this point. So therefore, the only solution is to become first class. Second class thinks brahmachari means some saffron cloth, you know, whatever's the latest fashion in brahmachari attire. The other day, I saw the cutting edge in second class brahmacharis. The cutting edge means like, you know, just right in the front. They mean the best of the best of second class brahmacharis. I saw, yes. They had nice South Indian dhoti with big, big border. Then nice dark color, you know, no one should mistake that they're not a brahmachari. Then we had nice big one of those Bideshi foreign money belts. Then we had nice t-shirt with all kinds of crazy Western things on it. Then we had big neck beads, big, fat, big. And one big kavacha. Then few chains. Then big, big seeker. And then you tie the knot down here. Not close. Down. Everyone should see it's big seeker, you know. And then we have nice hair. You know, part down the middle, something fancy. Then you have, you know, one, two ring, you know, some sapphire, some gomed, something. And then big, fat Brahmin thread. Fat. And then the, huh? No, that's not so important. Said bead bags. Then the perfection means that all this is there. Now the bring out the perfection of all this. Oh yeah, excuse me, two more perfections. One was the sunglasses. Then we had the earring. I saw this, I'm not joking. The only thing I didn't see was because they were in the temple, I didn't see the American baseball hat. Yeah, I think there was also, yeah, one of those big, you know, watches you could, you know, if you hit a rhinoceros. So that is the perfection of the second class brahmachari. Now you take this brahmachari is Siddha, right? Then you get one lady, she will peel and make into mash. So this is Siddha, yes. So we have two kinds of Siddha. One is by realization, and the other is by this process. So therefore, the first-class brahmachari, whether he stays Naistika or Upakurvana, he avoids this other path of perfection. His question is that we didn't necessarily have the opportunity from a young age being trained as brahmachari, you know, where you have so much time in that. We join and then, you're joining late teens, early 20s, so you don't have so much time. You know, 5-10 years, and one has to be able to, you know, make some decision. So what about that situation? How to become first class? So the main thing is training and association. So if we can, amongst ourselves, give each other that training and that association, then we can develop quite quickly. See, because when we go through the Gurukul system, much of what we gain is subconscious. But it prepares the foundation so that when we do think, it's more easy. So then at the age of 16, one becomes adult. So at this platform of adult, then one actually makes the choice to be a devotee or not. And that's all preparing us to make that decision. So then the serious training, Gurukul training, is between 16 and 24. So therefore, if we come in within that time, it's not too late because we've made that decision to become a devotee. So that's there. We just don't have that backup training that makes it easy to learn. So then we should become more determined, more serious. Like we see in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs, in that in the first part of humility, he first makes that point, is that not only has he started late, it's at the end of life. I've wasted the whole life. So the main point is that surrender. So if we take devotional service very seriously, then we have that surrender, we have that intelligence, we can develop quite quickly. And also, as grihastha, we can still study, we can still learn. That's why then the boy is interested to marry a first-class girl. First-class means that the girl understands dharma. It's the same training. And the girl only wants to marry a first-class brahmachari. Means character is what is looked at, not physical features, not how fancy you can wear a sari or dhoti. In that situation, then one can continue studies. That's the grihastha brahmachari. The first-class brahmachari becomes a gurupati. And the first-class girl becomes a dharma patni. So now, if this understanding, if we know that by following with this understanding, we can get back to Godhead and not, it will be very difficult, then we change our culture. Otherwise, socially, we can never develop. So then, brahmacharis who want to become first class, they will only marry first class girls. Girls who want to become first class, they'll only marry first class boys. Therefore, the girls will be careful to be trained properly, behave properly. The boys will be careful to be trained properly, behave properly. Brahmachari, it's not the orange club where we grew up. You have some club, cricket club, or Durga Puja club, or now we have the orange club. Not that. The brahmachari training is very serious. That's why we're following it. By being a brahmachari, that doesn't get you back to Godhead. Being a brahmachari affords the facility to study nicely so that we can develop our love for Krishna to go back to Godhead. The man sees his whole life as brahmachari training, as kupa kurvana or as grihastha brahmachari. In any case, the principle is brahmacharya. Then the saffron cloth has some meaning. And then it will be respected. Now, then we'll discuss on the topic of understanding what is intelligence, how it functions, and the difference in functioning between the intelligence with the man and the intelligence with the woman. Based on this platform, one can understand whether one can remain